Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're live.
One, two, three, four.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into West by Pod, podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and quitting your real job to pursue your side hustle as the Akron head coach in College Football 25. I'm Joel Bracken at WV Stats Guy. He is Jordan Pinto at Game Day Shorts. We are continuing our summer series episodes today. Today we are covering the Iowa State Cyclones. In the interim, I think most college football fans have been digging their teeth into College Football 25. Jordan, how's the legacy going over in the virtual world?
Well, we're a couple natties deep at this point. I actually, currently I'm taking a step away from my primary duties as the West Virginia Mountaineers head coach. We have Kansas State up in the CFP quarterfinal right now. So, you know, once we're done recording, I'll get back to the important stuff. But, no, it's been good, man. I'm pumped. Musket Dynasty set up. It seems like it's picking up some steam. I think we got like 8 or 10 teams in there now. I got Memphis. I'm pretty pumped about that. Got some cool uni choices, you know, got some cool players. So, I've put a full shift in, Joel. I probably, you know, I haven't gotten more than 5 hours of sleep in 2 weeks for sure.
Are you a late night gamer?
Kids go to sleep 7:38 and then usually, you know, my wife will go to bed around 9 and then, we put on the headset, pull out the clipboard. And we get to work. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
How about you, man? How's Courtney adjusting to being a coach's wife?
Oh, she's loving it. You know, I had to consult her on our first coaching move where we were going, you know, starting. We started in Muncie, Indiana, Ball State, you know, offensive coordinator. And, you know, we had to move down south. We're now at Texas State. Had to take the head coach job there. So no, but same, I've been trying to squeeze as many hours as I can. Not as many as there used to be when I got these games, but yeah, it's been fun. The Game Boy is really good. I mean, I have a couple small gripes on like some of the like sim engine stuff, but for the most part, I'm really enjoying it, dude. It's a fun game. It's good to be back in that groove.
Yeah, dude, it plays great. Yeah, I think there's the list of gripes. I think WV related, the sun, turns out the sun being on the wrong side of the field was not an early build issue. That's still the case for West Virginia. You know, I maybe take one or two exceptions with some of our player ratings, but overall I've been having a blast playing the game. So big win for the program, big win for those of us who like to game and love college football.
Oh yeah, I love all the program building stuff. Just like recruiting, you get your scheme in place. You want to go get your guys to fit your scheme. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
a lot,
it's good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, all right. But, you know, back in reality, today we are continuing the summer series. We're doing our deep dives on all the teams West Virginia plays this season. And we are continuing along today with the Iowa State Cyclones. We are recording this on July 24th. I think we took a bye week last week for, other duties. But we're back at it today. So, I don't know if we really have any other major points. We just want to get into the Cyclones.
Yeah, there's not shit happening right now. I mean, basketball team apparently had a public scrimmage. That's very unprofessional of me. My God in heaven. Let's dive in. Cyclones.
All right, let's do it. I will set the table here. Iowa State Cyclones. Last season, 7-6. They started with their annual loss to Iowa. That seems to be a pretty common thing. And they backed it up with a loss to Ohio, 10-7. Not a great way to get the season underway. But I gotta say, they did get their feet under them, and surprisingly late into the season, they were like had mathematical chances to like be in the Big 12 title game. They beat Oklahoma State and they beat Kansas State when they got things humming. So the highs were decent for a team that, like, three games into the season, you probably were thinking you might not want to watch. Vibe around the program, I'm not an Iowa State, like, fan. I don't know how they feel. It's kind of strange because I think the second half of the season was really optimistic. There was lots of exciting things. You got a young team. You bring everybody back. But if you zoom just a touch out, in the last three seasons, they're two games under 500. They're three games under 500 in conference during that time. So, you know, are they done with that middling to losing portion and getting back to the Brock Purdy heyday, where Matt Campbell was the hottest, you know, coaching ticket in the country? Like, I think his stock has fallen from like 3 years ago. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but yeah, after the Purdy class graduated, I think, you know, there were talks of him going anywhere. So Matt Campbell, obviously head coach, like I said, I think his stock has fallen a little bit, but he's done it before. He's pulled this program up because I think it's important to remember that they were a long-running dumpster fire until he showed up. So, I think maybe this is like the new wave, and for teams like us and Iowa State and a lot of teams in college football, you kind of get your success in waves, and maybe a new wave is starting. At least a new era is starting, and I think they kind of started to get that into place last year. So that's sort of my overview of Iowa State. What are you thinking about that, Jordan?
Yeah, perfectly well said. I think that you said it perfectly well said. Teams like us, teams like Iowa State, you know, you build to a 2 or 3 year, maybe like probably a 2 year window, right, where you have guys in who played as freshmen and sophomores, and then they come in, and then hopefully you get some good guys in behind them to fill in the gaps. And then for like the 2 years that your good class is still in the program, not moving on, you hopefully win 9-10 games, make a couple pushes for conference titles. We saw that with the Purdy years, like you said. They really underachieved the last year. We beat them in Morgantown with, you know, a not very good team. I think they went 7-5 with Purdy and Breece Hall and Charlie Kolar, you know, like a lot of NFL dudes on that team in what was supposed to be their Big 12 title push, and they just, you know, kind of fell apart. So, yeah, I'm sure they were down, but, you know, like you said, man, seems like the new wave may be starting to crest, right? Like, they got hit with that gambling scandal last summer. Like, I can't remember. It was, like, last summer, though, right? I don't think it was in fall camp, but maybe right before.
It was it was late summer.
And it wasn't even like, you know, two-bit players who are getting caught up in this. It's your starting quarterback. It's your starting running back. Like, dudes who people thought were going to be. Like, Hunter Deckers, like, was supposed to be the guy after Purdy, right? Yeah. And then he's just not on the team anymore. And so all of a sudden you have Rocco Beck coming in, starting as a true freshman. And, yeah, no, I mean, you know, you lose to Iowa. You lose to Ohio. But then they go 6-3 in conference play, and like you said, it's not like they, you know, they didn't dodge everybody. It's not like they had just like a cupcake conference schedule. They outscored their opponents 29.5 to 24.5 in conference play. And so, yeah, you know, I think they have to be feeling good. I don't think their expectations are too high. Like I saw, Vegas has them at 7.5. I think their fans would be happy with 7-5. You know, like I don't think that with all these guys being sophomores, and like if you look, like they have the whole roster back, right? I think depending on which returning production metrics you look at, they're top five, and what you know, wherever you're looking, they're going to be a top five in it. And so, yeah, you know, I think they have to be feeling good. You got your quarterback back. You got a promising running back. I mean, yeah, I think they have to feel like they're in with like a little, you know, they're not a favorite. They're not even adjacent to the favorite. I don't even know if they're a dark horse, but like they're a team, you know, that could make a run, you know, depending on how the chips fall, depending on how people progress. They had a couple weaknesses last year. That if they patch them up, then this is probably a really good team. But I mean, you know, I would be feeling good if I was an Iowa State fan.
Yeah, this is kind of, and you know, the landscape of college football is much different now. But this is sort of for the schools like we mentioned. This is sort of that dream scenario. You get a quarterback out there as a freshman who gets tons of experience and is good enough.
Good.
Shows promise. Yeah, like for a true freshman, you're like, yeah, we'll take that, dude. You know. He gets 13 games of experience. He goes to a bowl game. They have a winning record. Yeah, I mean, I think this is just a massive building block that they could launch off from. I forgot about Hunter Deckers. I looked it up just now. So he had to sit out all last year. He's enrolled at Iowa Western Community College, which is the defending junior college national champion, and he is eligible for this season. But yeah, what a fallen star kind of
to come back to P5 somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, he could be a sneaky junior college pickup following this year.
For next year. I would be targeting in the portal with Memphis, where this my virtual world.
Have some feelers out there, for sure.
We'd be making contact. We'd be sending a DM. Anyways, go ahead, sorry. I'm done. Yeah. I'm down the fucking rabbit hole, man. Anyways, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. So for expectation this year, in the media poll, the Big 12 preseason media poll, Iowa State's picked sixth. So they're above the halfway mark. We're picked seventh, so they're one ahead of us. So, you know, they're in the conversation. They're definitely not favorites to go to the championship game, but they're going to be a tough team to deal with. You mentioned returning production. Yeah, depending on which one you're looking at, they're up there. They're actually number one in the one I picked from Bill Connolly. In the whole country. So, and then, you know, from last year, beta rank 29th offense, 23rd defense, you're getting everybody back. That sounds really good on paper. I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty nice. And then just real quick for the coaches. So this is Matt Campbell's ninth season. Like I said, ISU has been pretty terrible for a long time until he came around. Iowa State is one of like two power four, put it in the swear jar. They're like one of two power four teams who've never had 10 wins. It's pretty incredible. They never had 10 wins. They went through all those years right there with Purdy where you were sure they were going to do something, and 9 was the highest they ever made it to. Offensive coordinator, Taylor Mauser. I believe that's
Mauser. Mauser's how I read it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is his ninth year in Ames. It's his first as the OC. He's kind of done everything on the offense. Your old OC left for the LA Rams. So, kind of a fresh OC, fresh look. He's a young guy, I think. So, that'll be something new. I think he was the tight ends coach, if I remember correctly.
Tight ends coach. I think he was offensive quality control guy for a while. So yeah, like you said, he's had his hands in the offense for a long time. I think he was, you know, pretty heavily involved, behind the scenes for their best years there with Purdy and all those guys. So, new guy, but I think continuity, I don't consider this really like, it's kind of the situations that we've had where we've promoted from within, you know, it's a new guy who's calling the shots, but it's a guy who's been plugged in for a while.
Yeah. Campbell has really kind of been, you know, I'm looking at the staff here, Campbell's ninth season. This is, Taylor Mauser's ninth year in Ames. First is OC, and then on the defensive side, John Heacock, also his ninth season as defensive coordinator. He's been there for a while. And I just got to say, as somebody who just does the quick research and goes to every, you know, Big 12 school's official football page and looks up their staff, when you look up anybody ever, any coach, it always will be like, Jordan Pinto, he's been a part of some of the best defensive units at this school in this conference during his tenure, which means nothing. I just wrote this down. John Heacock, ninth season. This is a quote from his bio. He's established one of the best defensive units nationally during his time in Ames. I would put a lot of money up to say over the last 9 years that Iowa State is not in the top 10 in defense, because 9 years ago they were ass. So that's just a statement that you will read on every single person's thing. I just find it funny because I did my research for some other schools at the same time, and there's like the same quote on every single coordinator's page.
Played a role in engineering the 53rd best passing attack in FBS last year. Like, yeah, okay. bravo. Yeah. You know, I do think so. The thing you get with the continuity, though, is a very, very defined and very clear identity. Like John Heacock, his defenses play a certain way. You know exactly how they're going to play. The offense plays a certain way, and what that I think that allows you to do when you have that identity. We saw it last year, right? It allows you to start winning in the margins a little bit. And I think, you know, before we get into the actual players, I think that's kind of my last point on Iowa State is they have made a little bit of a reputation under Campbell, and I think last year especially, of winning in the margins, where they're not flashy, they don't do anything crazy, but they keep the chains moving, they're good in the red zone on both sides of the ball, they win the turnover margin, and that translates to wins. And I think when kids know how you want them to play, know what's expected of them, it's just so much easier to go out there and play, you know, and play above your skill level, which, you know, I think, I don't, you know, Iowa State recruits not even as well as we do. And so, you know, it's critical that you have to have that defined identity so people know what's expected of them.
Yeah, I think that's a great call out. And, you know, we're doing our Kansas State episode next. I find a lot of similarities between Iowa State and Kansas State in that way, where it's like, they don't have the talent always. Iowa State definitely doesn't have a lot of the talent.
Yeah, Iowa State's here to year. Run below Kansas.
Yeah, State. Yeah, to differing success levels, but I would categorize the teams in the same way, where
same
it's
kind
like
of team. Yep.
It is a team continuity. It's not like a star guy. Keep the chains moving, and kind of just frustrate you in a way. Like playing against these teams when they're doing what they want to do can be really frustrating. So
it sucks.
You hate being on the other side of it. All right. So let's get into the guys who actually get on the field. Let's start with the quarterback, Rocco Becht. Clear West Virginia connection here. I had it in my notes, and I think I saw it in yours, about future West Virginia starter, future portal entry guy. Like, keep an eye. He'd be a legacy here at West Virginia. But hey, this dude was a true freshman last year. Didn't blow you away when you compare him to other quarterbacks in the league, but with the caveat that he was a true freshman, I think he did pretty good. Like, I think given what you had surrounding you, I think they designed a system for him to succeed, which was short passes. You know, he's not a fantastic runner, but, you know, like I said, you end up like into October and this team actually has a chance to like still go to the Big 12 title game. There's not really a lot of true freshmen you can throw out in any position and kind of be under talent compared to most teams you're playing and get there. So I think a really successful first season for him.
Yeah, really, really good game manager as a freshman. I'm curious about what his ceiling is. You know, you mentioned it. They kind of designed a system where he could see. It was a lot of quick passes last year. And so I don't know if that's like what he can do, you know, if they're not confident in his ability to push the ball down the field, if they're not confident, we'll get into the offensive line. If they're not confident in the offensive line's ability to give him the time to push the ball down the field. But within what they were asking him to do last year, you know, really good. 63% completions, 20-8 touchdown interception ratio, had more big time throws than turnover worthy plays. You know, I think we mentioned the low A dot. He actually had the lowest percentage of deep passes in the Big 12. So 20 plus yard passes, only 10.3%. He pushed down past 20 yards. Graded out as a worse runner than Alan Bowman, which
Ouch.
a pretty big red flag. You know, in terms of your ceiling, right? Like, I mean, at the college level, especially, like, being able to run really raises the ceiling of what you're able to do on the field. So I'm curious to see how he develops. You know, usually you see the biggest jump between freshman and sophomore year. But, you know, I mean, worst case scenario, he has a high floor, right? You know that he can go out and execute, run the game, get the ball in the right people's hands, do all that kind of stuff that you need your quarterback to do. He's not going to put you in shitty situations. So a very good, you know, if you're a team like Iowa State, right, like you can't feel bad about having a guy like that as your quarterback. You got to feel good about that. Yeah. He gives, you know, I don't know if he's going to go win you any games, but he's not going to, like, throw you or play you out of anything.
Yeah, he gives you a chance, and in a team that's not really designed, I think he you know, would fit this kind of style of team. I also think if you look as the season goes along, the team got better, he got better. His best two games of the season, according to PFF, were the second to last regular season game and then the bowl game. So, you know, two of his best two games were two of the last three. You know, so I think there's growth, but yeah, like I said, it's just kind of early to tell. And sorry, I keep calling him a true freshman. I guess he did play a couple snaps in 2022, right?
Redshirt? Oh, okay. I thought he was a true freshman. All
right. I also had that written down somewhere, but he had 16 dropbacks in 2022. But yeah, this dude, like you said, is probably not going to win you games, probably not going to lose you games. And I'm sure he'll improve over this offseason. He got 13, live game reps. So I think that's going to be useful. We'll get to the offensive line, I guess, in a little bit. So I guess let's move to the backfield now. What are you thinking about the Cyclone backfield?
So I'm sure they feel good about it. Abu Sama, back. They lose a couple guys. They lose Eli Sanders, Cartavius Norton, but Abu Sama is back, and you know, I think people think pretty highly of him. I think he ended up with 607 yards, averaged 8.4 yards a carry, and had 6 touchdowns last year. Most of the time was kind of the change of pace guy, like didn't have a whole lot of consistent volume throughout the year, but then against Kansas State in the regular season finale, I had to pull up highlights of this game because it was just so ridiculous. You know, I remembered that Iowa State won. I remembered that it snowed, but had 16 carries for 273 yards and 3 touchdowns. And so, like, you know, people again, like, you want to finish strong, but that's like almost half of his season total, right? Yeah. Like in one game. So, like, you know, is he, you know, great? He has this high ceiling. I'll tell you, he looks like an Iowa State running back. He's, you know, five. He looks like David Montgomery, like low center of gravity guy. Looks like he's hard to knock down. Looks like if I took a good run at him without him looking at me, I have like a 50% chance of knocking him over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he does that against Kansas State. Next game against Memphis in the bowl, he has 12 carries for 4 yards. So I don't know. I mean, he was the best of the bunch last year, I think. I think the questions this year in the backfield are can he kind of maintain that efficiency with, as the guy with the increased volume? And then the big question mark in the backfield for me is who gets touches behind him. I think the guy listed is Carson Hansen, who to this point has been mainly a pass catcher. I don't think he even had a carry last year, was just purely receiving back. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's a good player. And again, I guess we'll see. We'll get to the offensive line, but that, you know, if they don't improve up front, it's probably going to be a little bit tough sledding for him, but I think he's a good player.
Yeah. I think what stood out to me about Sama is that his numbers, like, well, first of all, there's only one game he had over 8 carries, which is like, going from that to being the main guy, you know, that's just like a durability thing, and you know, that's a slight change. But if you look at, there's the Kansas State game, which you mentioned, which was just like all over the place. He was 273 yards. But if you look at some of his other games, like he's kind of like a home run guy. He'll have in one game he gets 8 carries, 110 yards. Over half of them were on one carry. He had a 59 yard run against TCU. He had 6 carries for 59 yards. One of those carries was a 55-yard run. So yeah, it's like a 55-yarder and then 5 carries under a yard. You know, that's kind of stood out to me on his profile. So,
same, Same way with Kansas State, man. He had 270 plus yard touchdowns against Kansas State.
Yeah, so and, kind of a home run guy, but
yeah, yep.
Interesting to see as he picks up the load. But yeah, I mean, I think just also a recurring theme with Iowa State, they get pretty much everybody back. I'd say the running back room is probably the room that loses the most. And the other position group, it's like you pretty much are just getting the guys from last year back. Sama will be the starting back. All right, so let's move to receivers. So once again, getting pretty much all of this group back. Last year, your top guys, Jalen Noel was 83 targets. Jaden Higgins, 67. And then they got it to the tight end, Benjamin Brommer, a good bit as well. So all three of those guys are back. That's, you know, over 150 targets right there. Higgins, 80.6 grade. And Noel, 72% reception percentage when targeted. I feel like that's decently high for a high target guy. I love teams that use the tight end a lot. Brommer, only 50% when targeted. So they threw it to him 52 times. He only caught 26. I feel like that's kind of low, but still, he has good blocking grades as well. So kind of just like a well-rounded tight end.
He was a true freshman last year. So he's another guy where it's like, you know, I feel like Iowa State kind of tight end is one of those weird positions where it seems like they always have a guy who roasts us.
Yep.
Brommer, probably the next in the line there. But yeah, I think he's 75.7 grade. So graded out really well, has good blocking grades. They also have Daniel Jackson back, who had 21 targets last year, had a 64.7 grade. So like your top four guys are all back. They were all productive last year. Noel is kind of like a Brennan Presley type. Like he's kind of an underneath target. He's a yak guy, screen guy. You have to feel good about your top four. That's if you're going 11 personnel, all four of those guys are going to be on the field. Big concern again, depth. I'm not sure who they have behind these guys who have really done anything. Certainly nobody proven. But if they all stay healthy, you have to feel good about the pass catchers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, same, pretty much all the major contributors are back. So that's a big positive, especially for a young quarterback. Lots of continuity, lots of familiarity. And they kind of found some success in the ways they could. I have in my notes is like, can one of these guys become a downfield threat? You know, Can the passing game in general like develop to like the mid to deep level, because that was just really what it missed, it seemed like, last year. So you're getting all your guys back. I think that room's going to improve just with another season of reps. I think the elephant in the room here is the offensive line. I have not good to bad last year, like bad. PFF had them as the worst, both in pass blocking and run blocking, the worst line in the Big 12. That's not good. I mean, it's amazing that you can have a freshman quarterback survive and have any form of success behind that kind of line.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying when I was like, you know, it was a scheme out of necessity for what Beck can do or for what the offensive line could allow him to do. My note was, worst in the Big 12 by some distance and arguably the worst in Power 5. 47.8 in both pass and run block grade, which atrocious. I mean, absolutely awful. I think there were a couple of other – I think they were 60 – they were, like, third worst in both, but, like, all the schools below them were, like, considerably better at one or the other. You know what I mean? So, like – probably the worst offensive line in Power 5 last year, Power 4 this year. And one of these, you know, is returning production a good thing, things, right? Where, like, all five starters are back. All of them are penciled in as starters again this year. The guard, Jared Hufford, was the only one who graded out above a 60. He was a 65.6. So, you know, not a standout by any means. A standout on this line, but not a standout. But three of the five starters, the tackles, James Neal and Tyler Miller, and then the guard, Brendan Black, graded out in the 40s. And so, I mean, you know, to add context, if you're a regular listener, you know, but PFF considers anything below 60 to be like replacement level. So these guys are considerably below replacement level players. And, you know, I think so they add Jalen Travis from Princeton, 6'9", 315. I don't know if he gets in the mix. That's a big fucking body to throw out there. Maybe that helps a little bit. But overall, man, you know, I mean, maybe they improve marginally here. But, you know, I think the problem is, aside from Brennan Black, who I think is a sophomore or a redshirt sophomore, all of these guys are like redshirt juniors and seniors, you know, like dudes who have been in the program who probably pretty much are what they are. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Usually you get a pretty nice boost from continuity on the offensive line, but I mean, when you go from worse than P5, you know, I don't know like really what the ceiling is for this offensive line. And that kind of makes me question the ceiling for the offense as a whole. I mean, you know, because there are good defenses in the Big 12. Like there are good defensive lines in the Big 12. If you're just getting your ass whipped up front every game, it's hard to establish anything. It's hard to do anything. So
yeah, I feel like you covered the O-line pretty well. I mean, depending on what you're filtering on PFF, like, yeah, they come in as the worst in Power 4 pass block and run block. I think they're worst in pass block, second worst in run block, to Pitt being the worst in if you do regular plus postseason. So they're bad. Counterpoint, there's really nowhere to go but up. Like, they had a winning record with this offensive line last year. Sure. Pitt was, what, like 2 or 3 wins last year? It's surprising that you can get all this stuff done. And this is a great segue because the defense was all right. The defense did pretty good. Kind of an interesting profile if you look at the, once again, this is from PFF. If you're looking in the Big 12 last year, they were the second rated defense overall, second in run defense. This is interesting to me. They were last in pass rush and they were first in coverage, which is just kind of an odd, you know.
It's how they play, man.
How they play. So sort of
3-5, eight man drop every single play. Keep everything in front of you, run up and make the tackle. You know, I mean, this is what they do.
Yep.
They don't fuck up.
Exactly. So very like much of an identity based defense. It's just so weird that you could be dead last in pass rush. Yeah. That would tell me, quarterback's got all day to throw. Well, they're gonna lock you up on the other end. Some kind of an interesting defense there. I think I mentioned this before. They were 23rd in beta-ranked defense. Recurring theme with Iowa State. They pretty much get everybody back. So you want to start with the D-line here?
Sure. Yeah, so my D-line notes. Edge, whole rotation back here. 65 pressures, 8 sacks combined in 2023. Tyler Enyedem and Joey Peterson are the headliners. They were both good last year. And then inside, and they run 3-3 stacks. They run an odd front. So whole rotation back inside as well. 35 pressures, 3 sacks combined. Dominique Orange and J.R. Singleton both back, and both good players, especially against the run. So, the defensive line should be good. Defensive line is going to be good. Again, in a 3-3 stack, especially one that drops 8 like they do, you know, it's 3-on-5 up there every single time. And so they're going to have three big bodies out there. And those guys hold their own. You know, those guys hold their own. They occupy at least one. In most cases, you know, you're occupying two offensive linemen on every play. So they're up there battling, absolute war horses, war daddies. I think the defensive line is going to be good. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Any disagreement or?
No, I mean, you know, they're not looking to sort of have all these, the blitzes, the pass rush, you know, it is sort of relying on these guys getting pressure themselves and these guys disrupting. I think this is a really good unit, especially in this conference. Getting all these dudes back, I think this is going to be a really good unit. Looking at the linebackers, so they do lose Gary Vaughn, I believe. He was 530 snaps last year. He was a 65 grade. Two of the guys are all right. One is Will McLaughlin, a 63. The other one is Jack Sadowski. a 50.7, so under that sort of PFF replacement line. But your third backer, Caleb Bacon, by far the highest rated player on this defense. He was an 89.1 PFF. That's very high.
Outstanding.
He got 19 pressures, so he was right up there with their edge and their interior guys, almost the most pressures on the team. Pretty decent coverage rating. He's probably going to be your anchor. And he is they just have it as weak linebacker. They don't have a name for him.
No fun names on this defense. We have weak, we have Mike, we have strong. As God intended. He's fourth highest graded returning linebacker in FBS. So like, just to give you some context, he was excellent last year. Two-way player, good against the run, good against pass, good pass rusher, all of the above. I think was second on the team in stops, which is like PFF's version of tackles for loss. It's just, you know, a play where the offense was not successful based on the success rate formula. I think Sadowski was up there too, despite his grade. He had a lot of stops. So, I think this is really the heart of the defense. I think Iowa State is pretty frequently kind of like just a cover three shell. So the three linebackers are dropping into zone in the middle of the field. And you have to have really good communication, really good awareness to kind of, you know, pass guys off on crossing routes and all that kind of stuff. These guys are really good at it. I think you mentioned the one dude they lost. They have five of their top six back by snap count. So a lot of continuity across the rotation, even beyond the starters. I think the majority of them are, like you said, just fine. Nothing crazy, but Bacon is very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this defense continues to get better as we move back to the secondary. Very solid group. You get a lot of really high rated guys back here. So Jeremiah Cooper, safety, he was on the All Big 12 list. So I forgot to mention this also. Steve O'Klotz was your preseason All Big 12 fullback for Iowa State. They had two guys on the list, sort of a utility guy and a real Iowa State guy right there. So, Jeremiah Cooper is your other one at safety. You got to mention Miles Purchase. He had 79.1 coverage grade last year. Bo Freiler, I think he's been around 70.7 overall grade. You lose TJ Tampa, who took a lot of snaps last year at corner. But overall, I think also a really good group. Who else we have? Jontez Williams.
Yeah, Verdon, Cooper. Yeah, Jontez Williams. Yeah, it's a good group. I think at corner, yeah, you mentioned Tampa. Tampa was probably, I assume he's in the NFL. I actually didn't look it up, but he was a good player for them for a long time. Bo Freiler has been a multi-year. I think this is at least his second year starting and his third year of being a big player for them. Secondary's good. Back half of this, this whole defense, what did you say? They were 23rd last year in B score. They have everybody back to be as good or better this year, I would think.
And if you wanted to poke a single hole, maybe corners. Your next guy up for the corner depth has 79 snaps last year. So Darian Porter, I believe. So, you know, that's kind of where you're – or sorry, is it? Yeah, Darian Porter. If you had to poke anything, maybe depth, but you have a lot of guys who've contributed and done really well. This defense was good. They get a lot of the key guys back. They were solid last year. They, you know, kept this team in games. And when you have a game manager quarterback and sort of this style of team, it's very reliant on the defense to sort of hold the rope and, you know, keep them in these games. So I think this is a more than capable unit. Will they get better than last year? I think they'll be in the same range. I don't think it's going to be the best defense in the conference, but they're going to be right up there.
Yeah. I had 23 dudes played 100 plus snaps last year, 20 of them return. Yeah, I mean, should be one of the better units in the conference, I think. I don't know about best, but one of the better.
Yeah. Okay, so out of conference schedule for the Cyclones this year, they have North Dakota. They play at Iowa, which is just a rivalry that has not gone their way in a long time, I feel like, or very often. I think they might have got one recently. But and then they have Arkansas State at home. Let me pull up the rest of their schedule so we can
At Houston, Baylor at home, at WVU, UCF at home, Texas Tech at home, at Kansas, Cincinnati home, at Utah, Kansas State.
Yeah, I have written down over here that the last four games, not really counting Cincinnati, but sort of a tough way to close out if you are in contention, and they very well could still be in contention going into the last month of the season, moving into early November. You got at Kansas, at Utah, and then you finish out with K-State. It's kind of tough. I mean, that's a tough way to sort of end your season if you're in contention. Those are going to be some, those could potentially be some big games. I kind of like the front half of their schedule for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, potentially tricky at a conference. I mean, you know, I obviously at Iowa is going to be tough, but Arkansas State is one of those Fun Belt teams that people like. They're a fun team. They give people problems. Have a really good quarterback. So, you know, I mean, that's not a gimme. North Dakota, they should win. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, I think they miss Arizona, they miss Oklahoma State, but they play a lot of the preseason top half of the conference. Yeah. Plus, I think some bounce back candidates in Cincinnati and Texas Tech. So, teams who people maybe aren't super high on, but like they're not going to be bad, right? So,
yeah.
Not the easiest schedule.
So you want to run through our climb index for the Cyclones?
We can do that. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it. All right. So climb, cohesion, losses, infusion, menu, and benefactor. We'll start with cohesion. I think it's an easy five for me. I mean, this is college sports. You don't really get much better than this.
No. Yep. 5 out of 5.
Losses, also a 5. I mean, I think the only guys that I would really mention would be in the running back room. Maybe one guy in the secondary, but for the most part, once again, you can't expect much better. I gave him a 5 as well.
Yep, 5.
Infusion. What did they get? What did they gain this offseason? I gave them a 1, and the reason is they didn't really add anybody who I think is going to be starting or seriously contributing. Not necessarily a bad thing, but they didn't go out and get somebody, I feel like, that really improved a position group
that elevated anything. Completely agree. I gave him a 2. I think as far as recruiting goes, they had the 71st overall class, 53rd high school, 83rd transfer portal. Maybe that's expected considering all the returning production, but I think none of the transfers are penciled in as starters. I think only a couple are on the 2 deep right now that I'm seeing. So
is Campbell not a portal guy? I could see that, him not being a portal guy. I actually don't know. I don't know.
I don't recall last year because we didn't play him, so I didn't really dig into them too much last year in terms of who was playing for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was case by case kind of a thing where like they just have so many guys back that why are you going to waste resources going out and getting people, but.
Yeah,
I could see him being that kind of a guy too, honestly.
Yeah, I could see him being that way. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but like, yeah, we both mentioned it. You didn't go out and improve a position group. You just maintained and developed your position groups.
Yep.
All right, the menu, who they got to play. I gave it a 3 out of 5. I said they're probably going to lose an out-of-conference game. I mean, Iowa is probably slightly less than a coin flip for them. You mentioned Arkansas State's tricky. North Dakota, not a team people love to play. And then I don't like the end of their conference schedule. So it's a 3 for me.
I gave them a 2, man. You know, I think the out-of-conference is tricky, as mentioned. And then your last 7 games, at WVU, UCF, Texas Tech, Kansas, Cincinnati, Utah, Kansas State. I mean, those are all – I mean, if we're being honest, those are – you could lose all 7 of those games.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you have a quarterback go down or something like that. It definitely could happen.
Yeah, I mean, all those teams are going to have good defensive fronts. I mean, all those teams could win the line of scrimmage. You know, they could score 20 points a game in those seven games. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2 out of 5.
All right. Do you have a benefactor, a corporate sponsor for the Cyclones?
I struggled here, man. It's hard. It's hard with no context on a city, on a culture, on a people to, like, know, like, you know, I know what I think represents them. But you know, what do I really know? I've never been to fucking Ames. But I said Hooters, solely because founded by Iowa State alumni, Edward Drost.
Mm.
And, you know, I think, you know, it's the kind of thing I think everybody recognizes Iowa State, just like everybody recognizes Hooters. But I don't feel like it's really a place where, you know, people like think to go. Really, like, you know, when you stumble across the Hooters and you end up going, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. Just like Iowa State, when you like catch an Iowa State game, and you're like, man, this is like, you know, like they know what they're doing here. So I don't know. Do you have a better one?
I don't know if it's better. Maybe it's a layup. I just said FanDuel for their yeah. betting interest the other year. Also, I do have to give a shout out. Iowa State is, I don't know if they were the first, but they're pretty prominent, like, statistics place because stats all started with agriculture. Like,
okay. Yeah,
it's a perfect test environment. So I had some professors from Iowa State stats. Maybe there's something there. I didn't dig deeper, but
I did think I saw that the, when I was looking at, like, you know, are there businesses associated with Iowa State? The founder of Texas Instruments is an Iowa State alumni. So the calculators, Texas Instruments, we don't use calculators anymore because, you know, but
I'll look it up here on the fly, but I'm pretty sure I used to work for Nationwide, and I'm pretty sure the CEO of Nationwide went to Iowa State also. So
possibly the CEO of Boeing. I can't remember if that guy was from Iowa State or Kansas State, though. It's running together for me. But anyways,
we digress. All right. Anything else you got on Iowa State?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think my overall note is kind of a, you know, maybe a little bit of a different look in terms of how they got it done offensively, but really a vintage Matt Campbell get the job done team last year. And, you know, I expect at least marginal improvement this year. Over under 7.5 maybe feels a shade high considering that, I think the schedule's pretty tough. But they're not going to be an easy out for anybody. I mean, you know, I think probably just end on that. Not an easy out for sure.
I got a bonus benefactor came to me. The movie Twisters. Kurt Walker, CEO, Nationwide. I remember his story. He got into it because there was a big tornado in his area, and he's like, I'm passionate about insurance now. So Cyclones, the movie Twisters. There you go.
Outstanding pull, man. God, just under the gun here. Under the gun.
Right at the buzzer.
We're pros, folks. We're pros.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it on that one. So you can find us on smokingmusket.com. You can find us on Twitter at WVStatsGuy, at GameDayShorts, at WestByPod with underscores. If you're not in the Discord already, get in there. Upload some College Football 25 clips. Get ready to watch some Olympics and gearing up for football. So thanks, as always, for listening. We will catch you next time.
Come get that smoke on NCAA football, boys. Join the Discord. Join the dynasty. Come get that smoke. Memphis is coming for everybody. All right. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.